And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom. Welcome to the program today. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Tuesday, August 4th, 2020. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Mel. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Do you know we're less than 3 months away from election?
Yes, we are. And Katie, bar the door, buckle up, because I'll tell you what. Oh, man.
It's
you can tell
hurricane.
Gold was higher today.
Yeah.
What did you say?
That election's going to make the hurricane look like nothing.
Well, gold's going to make the hurricane look like nothing. And I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, when we begin to see these prices and gold hit these historic highs, people will start paying attention to the debt. People will start paying attention to the dollar. It's not going to be focused. And I can remember when we were going out during the Great Recession 2008, Bernanke was on the Hill getting grilled and so forth. And I'm sure he was being grilled by Ron Paul at that point in time. But Bernanke said, he says, we watch all the markets. We watch the gold market. The gold market is very important. And they know it, but only 1% of the population knows it, and that's the sad part. So the listeners, you guys know it, and so it's going to, you know, it is all about gold. Silver follows. Gold is still the main monetary metal, and silver is a speculative metal. It'll turn into a monetary metal at some point in time. They're both going to run these markets. The paper markets are going to run them. But they've got legs. They're just not running them at the end of something like they did in 2010. They began to run, the paper markets began to run gold after, you know, things had begun to settle down and the quantitative easing and all the TARP programs and so forth were beginning to take effect and things were beginning to settle out, and they decided to run the gold market. Of course, I remember that was also when, I think it was S&P that came out and downgraded the U.S. Credit ratings. And so once they do that again, that's when we saw gold go from 16 to 19 at that point in time. Gold today was right now in the New York spot price after market. We're looking at gold up $41. And now it pulled back a little bit, 38. And this is nothing. We're going to see it go up 100 a day. But we'll take 38 for today. $2,016. Silver was up $1.63. It's now $26.06. Platinum is up 18 at 942, and palladium was up 39 at 2,187. Now, all eyes are on the dollar. It was down 0.29 at 93.25. Remember I said in 2009 and 10 or 8, whichever year it was, the low that we saw in the dollar was 72. So if we're already at this level and repeat the 72 or lower, can you imagine where the gold prices are going to be? And just remember,
now, I got a question. The record high for silver was about $50. Is that right?
Yes.
So we're over halfway there.
Right.
Wow. Okay, I'm liking it.
Mm-hmm.
Go, Melody, go.
And I remember Duffy, Mr. Duffy, chairman of the CME in Chicago, Chicago Mercantile Exchange, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, he said gold should be trading at $5,000 and $6,000 at that point in time. So that's a no-brainer. I can't figure out why people can't figure it's not rocket scientists. It's not rocket science. You can figure it out. It's a no-brainer. It's probably one of the easiest trades anybody will ever make. but yet people resist it because they've been conditioned to believe, they've been brainwashed to believe it's just another metal and you don't need it. What are you going to do with it? It doesn't make you any income.
Melody, I talked to a lady yesterday that's worked for the bank for 30 years or longer, and we'll say an officer in the bank. She cannot comprehend gold and silver. She can't. She for some, I don't know if it's because it's been trained out of her or what. But you know, I told her gold was about $2,000 an ounce yesterday. Oh, it'll come back down. I said it may fluctuate some, but it'll never come back down again. It's going to continue to rise. She cannot comprehend that, Melody. She can't understand anything but paper. Isn't that sad? And she's highly intelligent, obviously.
Is she young?
No, she's 50-something. So I don't know. I mean, after watching it, and I've told about before, but sometimes, you know, you feel like you're throwing BBs at a brick wall. You know, it's not sinking in. I don't know what else to do except tell her again today they went to a record high. It broke 2,000. But I don't think she'll sit on this, ever get it or not.
Eventually they will, but then it'll be way too late when they finally get it for people like that. And I think lots of times it's just their peer pressure. They don't want to believe in it because that makes them, you know, their friends aren't doing it. So they don't want to be the outcast. So they just go along. It's the herd type mentality.
Well, and banks haven't dealt in gold and silver since 1964, silver, and no gold for how long? So,
true, but
yeah,
I mean, I know bankers and stuff that are into gold and so forth, but I mean, I think it's just there's just people who, that they're just not leaders. They don't think outside the box, and they do as they're told. They're very obedient, and they don't want to be, you know, they don't want to be the outcast of their friends and their family talking about something. So there's lots of reasons, you know, but I think that's a major one. And, you know, sometimes people just don't, you know, they've been conditioned to believe that it's nothing. It's just another commodity. I mean, hey, who's smarter than Warren Buffett and his sidekick that said, you know, it's just, you know,
well, if
doesn't
they
do
just
anything,
look back just
sits
the last
there.
Just look back over the last 10 years, 20 years of gold and silver progress compared to the dollar. That's simple. Just compare it to the dollar's value of the last 10 years and then look at gold. And tell me which one is the investment to have your future in. I mean, Melody, these people, if they can count, they can surely see that.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, come on. You've got, you know, central banks, governments. I mean, this is what we talk about. I mean, they're spending and pledging more than $20 trillion to combat this pandemic. Yeah, gold's going to go and gold's going to rally. And we've seen the largest inflows into gold ETFs in history. I mean, these are gold year-to-date advance is just over 31.5%.
31.5%. Wow. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to ask you a loaded question. This probably can't be answered, but I'll ask anyway. How would you know when maybe you should chip in some of your gold and exchange it for some cash to do something with? What do you think the level of that may be?
Well, I've heard people say that once it hits 2,000, they're selling just to take some profit. These are folks who purchased gold maybe when it was, you know, $300 and $400. And my question is, what are you going to do with the money?
True.
What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it?
Who's going to pay debt off?
I mean, if you have some debt, that's great. Then you can pay it down. But usually those who have that much gold, and they usually don't have the debt. So they just have the money. So you have to think about that. As far as when we're going to see a turner, when we're going to sell, I think we'll all know. I think it'll be dependent also in various parts of the country. I mean, you might have some place in a part of the country where real estate crashes, and maybe in some other point it won't, some other place it won't. So maybe the place where it crashes, somebody might want to sell their gold and buy some land. So it depends on the opportunities, and it depends on where you're at. It depends on what's really going on around you. I mean, that's what a lot of these guys talk about, these other people online and so forth who give you their, you know, who are quote-unquote experts. You know, they don't know. You know, they talk about how this is going to fold, how the reset's going to be, when this is going to happen and that's going to happen. I don't think we really know until it's playing out. We know the end. We know the end game. Well, we know the dollar's going to collapse. They're going to default.
Yep.
And gold is going to rise.
If they do a reset and they get in new currency, we've got to have something to trade for that currency. And that's a fact. That's going to happen, I do believe. But, you know, I did a demonstration before for people, and even in church, to show paper and then real money, silver. I have 100 silver eagles in a bag. And I have a $100 bill that was minted back in 1950s. It actually says on it, this is redeemable and lawful money. That's what it says on the $100 bill. But anyway, I showed them that in a new $100 bill and a dollar bill. And I said, this $100 in my hand here is paper. In my other hand, there are 20 silver dollars. The 100 silver dollars are worth 20 bucks a piece. $2,000 in this real money, and a piece of paper says $100 on it. Which one you prefer? And now that same 100 silver dollars are about $3,300 worth of money compared to that $100 bill. And that means, you follow what I'm saying?
Well, of course.
I mean, this is not rocket science. This is really, 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 really easy. A $1 bill, a paper, or $33 of real money in silver. I mean, would you rather get paid $100 a day of paper or $10 a day of silver? And I ask that question. Some of them get it right away. Some of them got to think about it a minute. It's just a simple idea of math and worth of the value of what you have in your hand. 100 pieces of paper or 10 silver eagles worth about $330. Which one do you prefer? So anyway, I just want to share that. I think that's important. And I think all pastors should give their congregation education in real money, as the Bible teaches us to do, and what real money is. The church should be the wisest people in the world in understanding finances, because it calls this all through the scriptures. And there's a curse on unjust weights and measures, and we haven't had a just weight and measure since 1964, folks. We're being cursed in a lot of different ways. But the pastors don't seem to know it. Maybe they don't care. I don't know which. But the church needs to know this, because we were the ones that are supposed to educate the world on God's Word. Now, I'll shut up and let you go. I just want to share that. I think it's my responsibility to teach the people that I care for about how to take care of themselves and their families.
The benchmark 10-year U.S. Treasury note yields, they fell to the second lowest level today, slumping 4 basis points to 0.511%, even after the Treasury itself said it would borrow $947 billion over the 3 months ending in September, thanks in part to the costs that are linked to various government coronavirus support pledges. And another $1.2 trillion will be sold between October and December, the Treasury said. So, you know, folks, how much more can these markets absorb these unbelievable numbers? They're really incredible. And this is why gold is reacting. There really isn't, there isn't any, major one thing. We're here. Gold is up now. It's back up to, let me just make sure I have my update, $42. 2020, isn't that interesting? 2020.
Hmm. Yeah.
The day it hits its record high, we're at 2020.
Isn't that amazing?
But, you know, so folks, this is exciting. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that will be hurting because they're not prepared and they haven't protected their purchasing power. The HSBC Bank, it's Europe's biggest bank, their net profit plunged 96% in the second quarter.
Wow.
Hey, that's all based on the low interest rates combined with the downturn due to the pandemic. The bank's net profit was $192 million in the April-June quarter, down from $4.37 billion. So, you know, these banks had all these great profits, but guess what? It's going to turn around. Everything's turning around.
Well, they're blaming
and
a lot of the dollar
turning around
slump
to
on
the
virus.
Positive.
They're blaming a lot of the dollar slump on the virus, of course, and say they need to get a grip on the virus. People want to hear good news. If they do, the dollar could rebound. I really don't think so. I'm sure that's part of it, no doubt about it, because they're spending money like it's spending dollars, paper dollars, like it's nothing to it, and it's just killing the dollar everywhere. But that's certainly not all the situation. I guarantee it's not. The virus may or may not get better. I don't think it will. But it's not going to change the fundamental strength of the dollar. I really don't believe that.
The virus isn't going to change the dollar.
No, it isn't.
But when you have world governments shutting down their economies and they have to create the stimulus in order to just keep the financial and the monetary system functioning. So, you know, that's just like the cause and effect type of a thing, I guess. But the real problem has always been the problem, and it will always be the problem until it collapses on its own. And that's, we have a fiat currency. All fiat currencies fail, and ours is no different. The world's fiat currencies are no different, and they will continue to do whatever is needed, whatever is to keep the system afloat. But eventually, because of the corruption, fiat dollars invite corruption, they create corruption. The stimulus, the social programs that were all created, the Ponzi schemes in the Wall Street financial markets, it all comes back to your fiat currency. And that's why it all always collapses. If you didn't have corruption and you didn't have, you know, all the social programs, maybe a fiat currency would actually work.
Well, fiat
but it
currency
doesn't.
Fiat
because there's no accountability
corruption.
Because
that's it.
People are
yes.
human.
Fiat currency
and
causes corruption.
Yeah, they're bad. People are bad to the core. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival.
We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom, and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. And let's see. I think that's pretty much a wrap. You know, on the, we know that bankruptcy, even the Toys R Us former CEO, we all know that Toys R Us filed bankruptcy and so forth, how many years ago. He came out and says, hey, these retail bankruptcies, it's only just beginning.
I agree.
Only just beginning.
I agree. Totally agree. Well, you know, if you would have had some stock in guns, you would have had some pretty good increase this time. I'm just reading here, gun stocks bang higher as July background checks jumped 79%. Said firearm stocks moved higher on Monday after gun background checks rose 79% in July year over year amid violent protests which have gripped major cities across the United States. That said, the number of checks was lower than all-time records set in March and June. Shares in Ruger and Smith & Wesson enjoyed gains of more than 5% and 9% respectively on Monday, while Taser manufacturer Axon Enterprise were up more than 5%. The FBI ran over 3.6 million background checks through the National Instant Criminal Background Check System last month, the third highest on record, behind 3.9 million in June and 3.7 million in March. So the gun industry is doing pretty well. And that's fine. I love it. I love that. I hate to think about the reason it is. I don't like that thought of a coming civil war, perhaps, but I'm glad they are doing well. They've caught a lot of flack over a lot of years just because they make guns. So, good for them. Now, I'll shut up and let you do something. I just want to share that.
Well, that's great. Thanks. You know, there was... this is from the Wall Street on Parade. You had the Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell and Randall Qualls. He's the Vice Chairman for Supervision at the Fed. They stated in testimony before Congress that they would be providing transaction-level details of their Section 13(3), their emergency lending facilities, on a regular, ongoing basis. But the three oldest of these facilities, which is the primary dealer credit facility, the commercial paper lending facility, and the money market mutual fund liquidity facility, which were all created more than 4 months ago in mid-March, well, guess what? They have yet to release any transactional level details to the public. Now, the Fed is required to provide reports every 30 days on its emergency lending facilities, and you can find them at the reports that are located on their website. If you scroll down, you can find that the transaction level reports, they've been provided for four of their programs. But the three programs that I mentioned, which are the oldest, they have no transaction level details. And so without these transaction level details, the public has absolutely no idea which Wall Street banks, the trading firms, are borrowing from the Fed. Without this transaction level detail, the public has no way of discerning if one or more particular banks are facing a liquidity squeeze, as what we saw back in 2008. So there's, you know, and why is Congress letting them get away with it? Nobody's saying anything about anything. Why? Because the stock market is high. That's why. You know, it's, you just get so frustrated at these people are disgusting, Butch.
Oh, they are.
You know?
That's what they are.
They're just disgusting and shameless.
They don't mention the debt any longer. They don't bring it down, break it down to tell you how much everyone in this country owes in debt now per person. They don't share that anymore at all. It's never mentioned. We gotta cap the debt. It's never mentioned. And on top of all this, Pittsburgh launches guaranteed income program with Jack Dorsey money. Did you hear this?
Yeah, and the Jack Dorsey of Twitter.
Yeah. The money used to start the program will come from funds Dorsey gave that is allowing Pittsburgh and 15 other cities, 16 altogether, to help those who are struggling during the economic crisis brought about by the coronavirus pandemic. A number of people in the city of Pittsburgh will be chosen to be able to receive a monthly stipend, basically a debit card, Peduto told KDKA. He did not specify how many people would qualify, but he did outline the criteria he would look at. Peduto said that he wants to give the monthly payments to those who are currently struggling and who will be able to improve their lives with it. He's also looking to award the money to people of different backgrounds and demographics so that a study can be conducted to analyze how it works. This is one tool to close the wealth gap, the wealth and income gap, level systematic race and gender inequalities, and create economic security for families, Dorsey tweeted. Dorsey's gift is benefiting cities including Atlanta, Seattle, Los Angeles, whose mayors formed the Network's Mayors for Guaranteed Income. That group was launched by Stockton, California Mayor Michael Tubbs, who launched his own Guaranteed Income program in 2018. Well, if they're going to do it out of private funds. That's the best. If you're going to do it that way. When they start doing that out of federal monies that take it from us to do it, that's wrong. But if these people don't do it and they have the money to do it with, we can't say anything too much about that. But apparently, I did not know this, but they've already had a Mayors for Guaranteed Income started back in 2018, and Atlanta, Seattle, Los Angeles, some others have already been involved in that. So if you live in Pittsburgh, you may be getting a debit card from Jack Dorsey's money fund. So I don't know, Millie, but this is coming from private funds. So I really can't throw rocks at it. It's not, you know, that's their money. If you're going to have a UBI, why not come out of private funds?
But the question is he working with the state officials?
It didn't say that.
To,
I don't know.
Pardon?
It didn't say that in the article. I don't know.
Yeah, so it depends on how, you know, but we know what happens when you give people free money. I mean, look now, we have our government, we have the federal government, and again, I get the hard times people are having. But look at the effect it has on them. They're getting an extra $600 a week. Well, they did, on top of their unemployment. Yes, it was temporary. But how many reports do we have to read to understand that because they were making more money from $600 in addition to unemployment, or if I don't know if they got their unemployment too, which is which, but
they
that
did.
Was more than
they
what
did.
They were making.
They did.
They didn't want to go back to work.
Well, what is the current plan for that? Have you heard any more details on what you're going to do with this next
bill? Both sides are at each other's throats. No, nobody's giving in. I mean, there's no, you know, they're working on it. Our good government politicians on both sides are working on it.
Well, I'm sure another $2 to $3 trillion in debt won't make any difference. I mean, what's that compared to what we're in debt already? You know, what's a few more trillion? But you watch just, Melly, this has all happened since Trump's been in office. I'm not blaming Trump for this happening right now. But his debt increased faster than Obama's. And now with this happening, it has totally left all reason. So I don't know exactly what's going to come out of this at the end other than inflation. But they're still haggling over that. I guess who's going to get what. And I'm sure there comes something, because if they don't, people are going to get upset because they're not getting something out of it. So it's got to come to a head sooner or later.
Well, it does. And I mean, it's here was one. I just saw the headlines on this. I don't know how, but the restaurants are closing left and right.
Yes, they
are. For various reasons. And this is out of the San Francisco, you know, and you have, you know, I don't know if you're a fan of Hooters, but they're closing. And they used to have a lot of them in that areas. But it's happening all over the country. And they closed one here in Ocean City. They closed one.
Well, you know, we took so much for granted.
We
took so much for granted for so long. You know, we'd go out anywhere, any night in a small town and get multiple restaurants. And that's coming to an end. And a lot of them are just letting so many people in at one time, so it's not always easy to get in to even have a meal. A lot of things have changed, Melody, in our life over the last 4 months.
Of course.
Or 5 months. They really have. And it's not going back to normal again as we knew normal. Never, never, never. I mean, that the two words I hate, new normal, are actually the truth. This is a new normal. It's not going to go back.
And I don't know about this. This is just a headline, and I'm not going to go there. And you can pick what you want to talk about next, but baby boomers score lower on cognitive functioning than previous generations. And that's from Fox. So,
that's Fox News.
So, how about that? This was a new nationwide study by researchers at The Ohio State University. And the research data was from over 30,000 Americans who participated in the 1996 to 2014 Health and Retirement Study. And so...
All right, now read the headline again, please.
Baby boomers score lower on cognitive functioning than members of previous generations.
Well, yeah, that's probably true. I mean, most of the... Now, this is going to make a lot of people mad. I don't mean to. The younger generation today can't even write in cursive. They can't write. They can't spell.
I know.
I don't doubt that. I'm sure our generation, compared to those in 1920s and 30s, were far less educated. I'm sure that's probably true. But compared to the day generation, we're geniuses. It's just the way it is. You know, Charlotte Isby, I'm sure you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Wrote a book some years ago, quite a few years ago, entitled The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. And they've done a great job. Each generation gets less educated and more controlled.
Mm-hmm.
And they accept what they're taught to accept, no matter how immoral it is. They accept it because that's what they're told, but that's what is right. So, yes, our generation, I'm sure, compared to my dad's and my grandma and grandpa's, was a lot less educated in a lot of ways. But compared to today's generation, we are college graduates, every one of us. My dad made it through eighth grade before we had to quit school. And his education was as good as mine, and I went through high school. So there's a difference, huge difference. If you ever get a chance sometime, Ellie, look up a test. Just look up a test online. It's a geography test or a math test from the 1880s. Say for the eighth grade.
Yeah, I know. I've done those.
For the eighth grade. Oh, my. You just kind of sit and stare. You know, if a guy has a wagon 10 foot long, 6 foot wide, and a foot and a half deep, how many metric tons of grain can get in that wagon? Duh. I have no idea. But those are questions they ask, and they had to work them out. Most folks probably don't know what a metric ton is. Start with. So anyway, so these are things that were taught that we have forgotten completely or never knew, obviously.
Now they teach feelings.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. How do you feel about this? Yes, yes. And we mustn't offend anybody by saying good morning. You know, I tease Marsha a lot. Yeah, exactly. I tease Marsha quite a bit because, I mean, she's my best friend in the world. But I tell her there's only two kinds of people make Marsha upset. Those that say good morning and those that don't. So it's kind of like today's feelings. You know, no matter what you do, you're going to hurt somebody's feelings.
Well,
yes.
Those who say good morning too chippy.
they get on your
good
nerves.
Good morning. Right? I'm more of a grumpy good morning. Good morning.
I survived, but I feel better after a cup of coffee, quite honest with you. But anyway,
this morning,
I walked out on the front porch. It's still about 6:30 in the morning, watching deer grazing the field, watching my cows over laying together, and just I wake up in good mood. My God blessed me with another night's sleep, and I feel good. So I do try to wake up in a good mood if possible, but I don't always accomplish that. Anyway, I thought
I'm
this article. Well, I try to be. I really do. Because I'm blessed, Melody. I mean, I'm really, really blessed. I want people to know that. Democrats, now this is scary. Democrats' war game for election includes West Coast secession, possible civil war. Now this is out of New York Times. Democrats are contemplating secession and potential civil war as they game out possible scenarios for a closely contested election, according to a report by Ben Smith in New York Times column Sunday. The bulk of Smith's column is devoted to the question of how the media will handle election night coverage, given that the result may not be known for weeks. Vote by mail, which many states have already recently adopted, ostensibly to prevent the spread of coronavirus at polling places, could lead to an uncertain result, you think? Duh. However, buried near the end of Smith's column is a report that Democrats have participated in a war game in which they consider several possible outcomes of the election. In one scenario, John Podesta, the former chair of Hillary Clinton's campaign, party circles played former Vice President Joe Biden and refused to concede the election. The result, the threat of secession by the entire West Coast, followed by the possible intervention of the United States Armed Forces. In that scenario, California, Oregon, and Washington then threatened to secede from the United States if Mr. Trump took office as planned. The House named Mr. Biden president, the Senate and White House stuck with Mr. Trump. At that point in the scenario, the nation stopped looking to the media for cues and waited to see what the military would do. This sounds awful. But how can I promote the idea of the West Coast seceding? I mean, it's fine for me, California, to leave the country and take their liberals with them. That's fine. Take the whole Democratic Party with you and take most Republicans with you. That's fine for me. Go ahead and secede. Let us have the rest of it run as common sense. But this is actually a scenario being played out by Democrats. What would happen if maybe Trump wins? I hope it's just a pastime in a game, really. That still is kind of scary to even talk about, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, but I don't know. We're just going to have to wait and see.
That's all we can do. Now, we're going to go to break, but I'll say this. I don't like Elizabeth Warren, but she did something here I do like. Elizabeth Warren
Who?
Calls for insider trading. Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, mm-hmm.
You remember Pocahontas? Elizabeth Warren calls for insider trading investigation after Kodak share spiked 2,109%. Soon, Elizabeth Warren asked the Securities and Exchange Commission to investigate possible insider trading of Eastman Kodak shared before the public announcement of a $765 million government loan to make drugs and drug ingredients. Kodak shares spiked as much as 2,109% in 2 days following the announcement. It also gained as much as 26% a day before information of the loan was made publicly available. So good for her. I say kudos for that. She wants to know how they knew about this before it happened. I don't blame her. Good for her.
I've been talking about Kodak for a week that it was all wrong and there was all that inside trading.
Yeah.
And,
I remember that.
You know, so, yeah. You know, they get almost $1 billion from the government and he goes from 1.2 million to over 215 in a matter of 2 days. Excuse me, there isn't something wrong there. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Sober Trading. 1-800-375-4188. Gold is still hovering at $40 to the upside. Silver's at 163.2606.
2606, wow.
Pardon?
Say at 2606, that's great. I'm just saying, hey man, go ahead.
You're interrupting my thoughts there, boy. I'm sorry.
I'm just teasing.
But we do have kangaroos, 1 ounce silver kangaroos available. They're $30. That's pretty cheap. $30.
Yeah, it is.
1 ounce pure silver. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We have 90% silver. I'm not going to mess with silver eagles, you know? I'm not going to fight, sit, and wait for them to come in, and you shouldn't either. You shouldn't be paying the silly prices that they're charging online. I don't care where you think silver is going to go. And so just be careful out there in your purchases. Don't panic and don't be stupid. And you don't buy fractional silver. I had a young lady who called me. They got caught up in those IRAs where you supposedly be able to take physical delivery of it, not stored in an IRA, which I don't agree with. There's only like one or two companies that do that in the country. And it's never been tested. There's 100 pages. That's a little bit of an exaggeration, but there's a lot of pages that have a lot of disclaimers. These people won't be there if the IRS comes sniffing around and saying, well, you know, that's not our approved IRA. That company is not an approved. And so, you know, these are the back taxes you have to pay. The company's not going to be there for you. That's all in the disclaimers. So, but they ended up buying a boatload, literally a boatload of half-ounce silver. Their statement states they're, I don't know, the Royal Mint Silver Eagles. The Royal Mint Silver Eagles. So I never heard of those. Check my buyer. What would you pay for them? Well, I never heard of them. Half ounce. I'll guarantee you they got scammed. Maybe not scammed, but taken. They got their silver. That's a good thing. But what did they pay? Why would anybody pay more for a half ounce of silver? You don't buy silver in the half ounces. You just don't. Unless there is absolutely no 1 ounce silver out there. Then you can buy a half ounce. But gosh, which I just don't get it.
You gotta be
why
really
these
careful,
folks,
Melody.
And these
really
are and now
careful.
These people want to sell it. And now it's not going as easy selling it as it was buying it. That's why they said, well, we thought that they promised us that they would buy it back. We wouldn't lose any money, that they would buy it back at the same price that we paid for it. I says, nobody can promise you that. Nobody can guarantee you that. How does that work?
Do they have physical possession of it, or just a piece of paper?
They did take physical delivery of
possession.
It. Yes, but now they want to sell it back, and they're having a hard time. That's why they called me. And so, again, people can't promise you what they're going to pay for something in the future.
That's true.
I mean, come on. So,
well, you know, I know that for a long time, you've all sold like $250 worth of face, $250 face value of junk silver. $250 a bag of silver. What would that go for now for a set? $250 of junk silver. What would that go for now for a bag, just roughly, compared
to
what she must get?
$250 for a full bag, you'd be paying $22,000.
Full bag, okay.
Full bag would be
$22,000.
So a quarter bag would be $5,500.
And that's a substantial increase over the last few months.
Sure. Well, yeah,
that's
silver's
phenomenal.
At 26, and the premiums are, and so 90% silver is beginning to dry up now, too. It's all going to be dried up.
Yeah. Well, people are going to, well, what they have, they're going to hoard it now, obviously, because, you know, they're not making more of it. 90% silver is almost, it's not being made at all. So it's got to come to the end sooner or later. It has to.
Heck, you. You can't even get the junk they make today.
that's true. That's very true. You know, we just read about the election coming up in November, and there may not be an election result for days or weeks after the election. I don't know how that's going to work. And as you said, if we have an election, and I think you can be right on this for the first time in all the years I've heard that, I think it's a distinct possibility that things may go get so bad so quickly that Trump may decide he's not going to take a chance and he's going to stay in office, but... Trump claims authority to issue order on mail-in votes. Now, I don't like the idea of mail-in ballots. There's no way you can trust them. A mail-in, I don't trust when you go in person any longer either. When a computer counts the ballots, how do you know it's not been programmed to count a lopsided ballot? And we know that's true. We know it's happened. They've been caught at it. So there's no way to vote and have an honest count today, period. But President Donald Trump claimed Monday that he has authority to issue an executive order on mail-in ballots, whose increasing use, he argues, could increase election fraud and uncertainty, though it's unclear what he could do to curtail the practice. I have the right to do it, Trump told reporters in the White House press conference. We haven't gotten there yet. We'll see what happens. Trump added the Republicans are planning to file a suit as soon as Tuesday to try to block Nevada's expansion of mail-in voting. So this is going to be a highly, highly contested election. No matter who is supposed to win, no matter who they say wins, Melly, this is not going to be a peaceful exchange of power this time. Either Trump would leave peaceably, or Biden would go away quietly. The people aren't going to take it either.
Right.
You saw what happened when Trump got elected the first time. Go ahead.
We have a caller.
Okay.
We have Ivan calling us from Pennsylvania.
Good afternoon.
Hello,
hi, Ivan.
Lady and gentlemen.
Hello.
Yeah, I just was trying to find out, did you discuss that large explosion in Beirut just occurred a couple of hours ago?
Yeah, I saw the announcement on that. I know a lot of people have been killed, but I wasn't quite sure. I didn't get all the details.
2,200 injured. It looked like a mini nuke. I mean, the way it came out, because it had the mushroom look, and then the top lifted, and there was, which was white, and then the second explosion, which was in there, was dark, black, like. So I just wondered what your thoughts are about it. Now there was one. This is from Al Jazeera. Okay, that's where I seen the video and also the news about it, and I just noticed that it was kind of scanning, and they were telling that most of the middle of Beirut is pretty well flattened, so it must have been either what do they call those? This is
suitcase nuke.
I'm sorry.
A suitcase nuke.
Well, either that or they saw one of them seen a firework. Okay. And that was like
a
puff, white puff coming, small. And then the big, which detonated the whatever it was in there, okay? They had that, what, C-Max, is it? That specialty used for detonating major buildings, particular like world towers and stuff like that. It wasn't planes, but it was some of these C-Max type of chemicals, which can have up to like 25 to 3,000 degree Fahrenheit, so which would certainly drop a building like that down. But this one looked very. I see in this one being used in Yemen a couple of years back by Saudis, and I am trying to think what they really called it. But it had a similar it looked like a mushroom coming up, and then the white cloud or the mushroom lifted, and then underneath was a black column of smoke. You know. So the other thing I'm sorry.
Is anyone taking credit for it, or anything being said about it?
Nothing is. They are still in. Well, a lot of people are in shock because they were. I mean, they say 30 dead right there, but they had 2,200 injured. He said all the hospitals are full. They are treating them in parking lots.
Wow.
So
you know, interesting. What's interesting, though, yeah, nobody came out to claim it or anything, and supposedly there was. They do have. They were saying that they do store explosives and so forth, and a retired U.S. nuclear scientist said that the red cloud of the massive blaze of the blast could have been ammonium nitrate, which is a common agricultural fertilizer. But what thing that I thought was interesting is Israel came out right away. It wasn't us.
I just want to point out that I think yesterday or day before, a news was that Israeli have placed on alert and brought more troops up to the border of Lebanon. So I don't know if this was a signal or something, or you know, because they want to destroy Hezbollah, which is in Lebanon, and they cooperate pretty well because they are in a government, Hezbollah, and so on. So they
but it wasn't Israel.
Yeah, well, the one who comes first running, it was me. You can count it.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, that's my interpretation of that was same thing, what you said. So, but I think we are coming to a very uncomfortable time. I think Pastor Butch mentioned that... about the elections and everything else, we might see a civil war here.
Yes, we might.
You know, and I mean, what's happening in general? It's it's the whole thing is upside down. The whole the religions, the world, sinfulness, everything else is going on, and it's like Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, before God finally put the end to that.
That's true.
And this is what's what I think we are going to be looking before the end of the year, maybe sooner. Now, the other thing is, which I kind of thought, I don't know how good it true it is, about the Planet X, which is supposed to be starting to impact in September. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's been around for a long time.
Well, it was, yeah, but now it's supposed to hit, and...
yeah, but that's what they said all the other times, too.
I know, yeah, yeah. I mean, just saying that everything is coming to a head, you know, to the point. And
yes,
so I
is.
Just thought I'll bring it up and see what happens next, you know.
Good points.
So we have, you know, I think we need to be prepared in one way or the other. I mean, because if you have a, I mean, we almost have the civil war, like in Portland or wherever they
We are at civil war. We are at civil war. It's already started. It's just not spread across
yeah,
the nation.
I agree.
It's already started.
The Antifa and all these
yes,
groups, communist, you know, oriented, and so.
Good information.
So anyway.
Good information.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
we're out of time, there. Ivan. So
yeah, out of time. All right. Well,
we're
so nice chatting with you. Nice talking to you both, and have a nice day.
You too.
Ivan. And thank you for calling us and bringing up the explosion in Beirut. I saw it, and I had hoped to bring it up, but I'm glad you did. So 800-375-4188. We're out of time, so we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless. Thank you, Butch.
I work all day and
you're welcome.
The bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.